It's TechBiter Worldwide with Bill Blinn. The latest on programs and policies, helpful hints, and a bit of occasional nonsense. All in more or less plain English.
Podcast number 898 for the 6th of September, 2024. This week, you're going to die someday. As a eulogy I once heard put it, the young may die and the old must. Dying is as easy as it ever has been, but the job for survivors can be difficult if they have no access to usernames and passwords for services that we've used to make our lives easier. In short circuits, Windows has lots of hidden little keystroke sequences that can improve your life as a computer user, but first you have to find them and then remind yourself to use them. Microsoft's Power Toys has long been one of my favorite utilities, and one of its components, Power Toys Run, recently received a major update. Blood, Sweat, and Tears had a hit with And When I Die in 1969. I was 22 years old back then, and I thought it was a pretty cool song. Laura Nyro wrote it and sang it on her debut album in 1967. Peter, Paul, and Mary recorded it too, as did many other artists. Well, more than 50 years later, I'm thinking about it again. My 77th birthday went whizzing by a few days ago, so I've been thinking about the end. Given that both my mother and father died when they were just 62 years old, although 5 years apart, I was surprised to hit 70, much less 77, and I really didn't expect to be here now. Yet, here I am. But that can't last forever. So, what's next? Dying seems more complicated than it used to be, in part because of all the services and devices we use to make our lives simpler and easier. They make it much more difficult for our survivors to gain access to needed resources. How many times have you seen or heard questions from somebody who's finding it impossible to gain access to some account or service, but can't because the credentials aren't available? And that's just the beginning. What about bank accounts, credit cards, store accounts, various subscriptions that have been set up with autopay, email accounts, online resources for doctors or other medical care, alarm codes, life insurance policies, loans, cellular and internet plans, and more. Lots more. I'm encouraged by an online document offered by 1Password. It aims to describe a well-organized process. Presumably, you already have a will, a living will, and all of the other documents that every adult should have, and that are even more important during the closing acts. So, I'm not going to be talking about those. See an attorney, or if you can't afford an attorney, there are some free online services that are sufficient for basic needs. Be sure to sign the documents in the presence of a notary and have them notarized. So, you've taken care of that. This is about your electronic legacy. Some services, Facebook, for example, allow users to name someone who can memorialize their accounts after they die, but I'd rather provide full access to the accounts. That means providing usernames and passwords for dozens or perhaps hundreds of accounts. If you have a password manager such as 1Password or LastPass, you can give survivors access to the account by providing the website address, username, and password in written form. That will allow somebody to log in when you're no longer able to, but watch out if you have enabled two-factor authentication that's linked to your phone. If your survivors can't open your phone, they may be locked out of the password manager. Most password managers do include workarounds that allow accessing the account without the two-factor authentication, but you have to make arrangements to do that while you're still around. The downside to providing access to a password manager is that survivors might be unfamiliar with how to use the application. Every password manager I'm aware of includes the option to export all of the information in plain text, and that's probably the most universally accessible option. There is, however, an extreme danger. Password managers encrypt the data. If you save a plain text copy on your computer, malware can find it and send it to thieves. If you do this, save the file to a thumb drive and make sure your survivors know where to find that thumb drive. It's also wise to print the file and include that with instructions that you leave. If you save the file to any device that's attached to the computer, be sure to delete it by using a file destroyer application that overwrites data from the file. Otherwise, the data could still be accessible. Deleting a file and emptying the trash simply marks the file as deleted. Until something else overwrites the data, it is still recoverable. Be sure to repeat that process every 6 months or so just to ensure that the data is current. That leaves a couple of questions. What about information that's not in your password manager? The password that opens the password manager isn't in the password manager. Most password managers have ways to store secure notes, so the password could be stored there, but it won't be much use if your survivors can't open the password manager because they don't know the password for the password manager. Okay, maybe the login password for your computer and the unlock code for your mobile phone or tablet are in the password manager. But again, that information isn't useful if your successor can't open the device. You might want to include this kind of information either in your physical will, in a separate document that is stored with the will, or in the instructions you provide to open the password manager. One of the most important points to remember, though, is this. It's not a one-time exercise. Come back occasionally so you can add new information and update changed information. When you're dead, it won't matter to you, but it will matter, perhaps a lot, to your family. If you find these podcasts useful, and I hope you do, might you consider a donation? There are no ads here, and support from listeners is the sole source of income. It's easy. Just visit the website and click the donate button near the top of any page. You can make a one-time donation or schedule a repeating donation every month. I thank you. And so does the cat. In short circuits, it's easy to make Microsoft the big bad bully that repeatedly forces users to install unwanted updates, but easy isn't always right. Some of the updates address security flaws and are intended to keep bad actors out of your computer. Many of the others improve usability, and it's all too easy to miss those. Let's take a look at a few that make my life easier. I'll start with the relatively new clipboard history feature, which is available in Windows 10 and Windows 11. It is not enabled by default, so you have to open Settings, System, Clipboard, and then enable the feature. You can also specify that clipboard history from one computer is available on another computer. The most useful feature for me is the ability to pin items to the clipboard so that they are present even after the computer is rebooted. There are some bits of text that I need frequently, and these can be pinned to the clipboard so I don't have to type them every day. For example, /dev/techbiter.com/_development_no_upload/techbiter_pending. That's the directory where I place photographs, screenshots, and other visuals that need to be prepared for the website. It's something that I use frequently. Typing it in is a real pain. Another feature, one that's been around for as long as I can remember, also involves copy and paste operations. Have you ever copied formatted text from one document or a web page and pasted it into a word processor document, and then find yourself annoyed because some unwanted formatting came along with the text? Well, then you have to select the text and remove the formatting, or modify the pasted text to match the surrounding text. The application may have a menu option that strips the formatting from pasted text, something like Edit Paste Special, but it's faster and easier to just press Shift-Control-V and place the text without its formatting. And although you have to download it separately because it's not part of the operating system, Microsoft's remarkable Power Toys utility set is well worth the time needed to obtain it and learn how it works. We'll return to Power Toys in the next segment. Another feature that's been around since Windows 8 involves pressing the Windows key and X, which provides immediate access to various administrative functions, computer and disk management, for example, power settings, the event viewer, and more. The Windows key opens the Start menu, of course, but it also contains a lot of other magic. Here are a few examples. Switch between normal, maximized, and minimized views of your current window with the Windows key and the up or down arrows keys. Press the Windows key and D to toggle between applications and the desktop view. Open Task View with the Windows key and Tab. Pressing the Windows key and I opens Settings, and you'll find a lot of other shortcuts, some that include the Windows key and some that don't, on Microsoft's website. You'll find a link to that shortcuts page on TechBiter Worldwide this week. The Control key doesn't have as much magic as the Windows key, and the functions are all ancient, but that doesn't make them any less useful. These are helpful in word processors and text editors. Control Backspace will delete entire words to the left of the cursor. Control Delete will delete entire words to the right of the cursor. Left Control Arrow and Right Control Arrow move the cursor one word at a time, left or right. Control-Shift-Left-Arrow and Control-Shift-Right-Arrow select entire words to the left or right. The more of these little tricks you learn, the easier the computer is to use. Microsoft's PowerToys utility includes so many features I rely on every day that it's an essential component on every Windows computer that I'm responsible for. Of the 24 components, I have enabled 20, and I use at least half a dozen of them every day. It runs on Windows 11 and any version of Windows 10 from April 2020 and later. I've talked about PowerToys previously, several times in fact, because Microsoft repeatedly adds new features and improves existing features. PowerToys Run, for example, started out as a quick way to launch applications that you haven't pinned to the taskbar or the Start menu. Press Alt Spacebar to open a text input, type a bit of the application's name, select the one you want from the resulting list, and press Enter. Well, that still works, but now PowerToys Run can perform calculations, open the registry editor and navigate instantly to a specific location, manage services, execute a command, provide numeric conversions, and switch to the default browser and open a website. It can also go to a network share, search using your search engine, and a lot more. That's an enormous number of functions in just one of the components. Not every component has so many options, but spending some time learning how the various features work won't go amiss. Do you ever use Caps Lock? That's one key I have absolutely no use for. In the exceedingly rare instances when I need to type in all capital letters, I just hold the Shift key down. Or if I ever need to type a large amount of text in all caps, I'll just type it normally, then use functions built into my word processor or text processor to convert the case of the selected text. It's easy to activate Caps Lock accidentally. So I made a registry edit several years ago so that pressing the key does nothing. Not everyone is comfortable messing with the registry, though, so PowerToys Keyboard Manager allows users to reassign keys, and you can disable a key so that it has no effect or assign it to some other function. There is one PowerToys feature I don't use, but not because it's not useful. When Mouse Without Borders is running on up to four computers on the same network, a mouse connected to any of the computers can be used as if it's attached to any of the other computers. As handy as that is, multiplicity from StarDock systems is even better because it allows up to nine computers to share a single mouse. Now, I do have trouble imagining any use case in which I would need to do that, but it also allows the keyboard that's attached to the primary computer to be used on the other computers. The keyboard works on whichever computer the mouse cursor is on. Multiplicity is part of StarDock's Object Desktop, which includes Start 11, Fences, Object Dock, Groupie, and some other useful Windows utilities. Object Desktop does cost $40 a year, and Power Toys is free, so Mouse Without Borders may be adequate if you don't need to share the keyboard and you want to save $40. Find My Mouse is essential. When I'm using Multiplicity, the mouse can be on any of four screens, and sometimes it's hard to find. Pressing the left control key twice dims either the three screens connected to the primary computer or the tablet's screen and places a bright highlight around the mouse cursor. I also don't use the handy Power Renamer tool, but only because the free bulk rename utility has far more features that make it a better fit for my needs. Environment Variables is a recent addition to Power Toys. The environment is used to store information that the operating system needs. Some examples include the location of driver data, the path that will be searched for runnable files, the Windows directory, each user's temp directory, and more. These settings rarely need to be changed, but those who remember the early days of Microsoft's operating systems may recall how easy it was to mess up even something simple like a path modification using the command line. This addition fixes that. There's also an editor for the hosts file, another file that should be touched rarely, and a registry preview utility that gives users a way to see a complex registry entry before committing it. The PowerToys utility receives updates every few weeks. In many cases, the updates fix minor bugs and make small improvements to existing components, but occasionally a component receives a much more significant change or an entirely new function is added. If you haven't yet downloaded PowerToys, now would be a really good time to do that. You can find more information on Microsoft's website, and there's a link from the TechBiter Worldwide website. Thanks for listening to TechBiter Worldwide. I'm Bill Blinn. There's more on the website, techbiter.com, and if you have a question or a comment, use the contact link you'll find there. Stop by again next week for another session.